带领我们早上啊听了从啊神对人们的期待跟神的慈爱神的公义，就可以看到本来不悔改的神不懊悔的神，他也会改变主意。
Hallelujah, this morning we heard about God's expectation from humans, His love and His justice.
那为了我们能够把自己放在神啊跟选民的契约，或者说我们跟神要建立良好的关系的这个啊基本问题上，我们再来查考耶利米，神对耶利米教导的一句话。
And now we're going to study, Jeremiah.About the covenant between humans and God.
原来神从起初就用他的慈爱，跟他的全能来选召他的选民，而跟他们立约。
From the very beginning, God has called upon His people to establish a covenant.
那神对他们一向的期待就是，在两方面订约的关系上头，既然神是守约施慈爱的神，那他同样的要求百姓能够来按照。契约的内容跟要求来达到让神满意的地步。
And in this establishment of a covenant, that God is a loving God, and He would like His people to do as written what is to do according to the content of the covenant.
那我们现在来看耶利米书十八章。
Let's now turn to Jeremiah chapter 18.
这是先知书里头的一个重要的象征动作。
This is an important symbolic action of this prophet.
借着先知施行或者表演一些动作以后，那神就从其中动作的意义来彰显或来表明他的旨意。
Through the action of the prophet, God will reveal the meaning of this action.
让先知以及旁观或领受这信息的人们可以知道为什么先知演出这样的动作。
In this way, the prophet and the people around the prophet would understand why the prophet would be doing such an action.
那在以赛亚书、耶利米书以及先知、以西结书里头，我们可以看到这样诸多的象征动作的例子。
And there are many such examples of symbolic actions in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel.
但是我们今天下午仅从耶利米书十八章的这个摇将访问摇将的这个象征动作来看神的旨意。
This afternoon we'll just study the symbolic action of Jeremiah in this passage about going down to the potter's house.
好，我们来看耶利米书十八章，从第一节开始。
That's from the Jeremiah chapter 18, starting from verse 1.
这位圣经905页。耶利米先知十八章一节开始。
Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1.
耶和华真神的话临到耶利米先知说：“你下起来，下到摇匠的家里去，我在那儿要使你听我的话。”第三节。
Three.
我就下到摇匠的家里去，正好遇到他转轮做器皿。第四节。
Four.
摇匠用泥做的器皿在他手中做坏了，他又用这泥另做别的器皿。摇匠看怎么好就怎么做。第五节。
Five.
耶和华的话就临到我说。第六节。耶和华说：“以色列家，我待你们岂不能照这摇匠弄泥吗？以色列家，泥在摇匠的手中怎么样，你们在我的手中也怎么样。”第七节。
Seven.
我何时论到一邦或一国说要拔出拆毁毁坏。第八节。
Eight.
我所说的那一邦若是转意离开他们的恶，我就必后悔，不将我想要施行的灾祸降于他们。第九节。
Nine.
我何时论到一邦或一国说要建立灾职。第十节。
Ten.
他们若行我眼中看为恶的事，不听从我的话，那我就转意，不将我所说的福气赐给他们。我们念这一节。
We have read these verses.
我们就想到真神的绝对自主权。
We can think about the absolute sovereignty of God.
我们也想到人或历史或家国都在神的手中。
And we think about how humans and history and nations are in the hands of God.
因此我们是他的受造物。
Therefore, we are created by God.
我们在他的全能的保护之下，在他的圣言看顾圣手的带领下，过着应该过着神要求我们的生活。
Under His protection and His guidance, we should lead a life that He wanted us to.
那我们也想到真神的选民以色列过去以及在历史中所扮演的角色。
We should also think about Israel in history.
那从神跟以色列民的关系，我们可以知道神的期待或神的要求。
And from the past, we can understand the expectation of Jesus of God from Israel.
啊，以及啊，以色列家国啊，整个历史的转变啊，操在他们跟神的契约历史关系上头。
We also understand that the history of Israel all lies on the establishing covenant with God.
我们今天好好的来查考神的绝对自主权跟神在历史上的作为，对我们今天有什么启示
？And today we shall study the absolute sovereignty of God and his historical deeds and what these reveal to us.
啊，在我们真的认识到神对我们的期待、神的慈爱跟那个公义啊的这个属性上头，我们早上就才很详细的查考了。
This morning we have already studied God's expectation, His love, and His justice.
那今天我们借着查考耶利米书的主题来看到神的作为。
And this afternoon, we shall study the deeds of God.
那所以我们就进入历史。
And therefore, we are going into history.
我们进入历史当中，学习历史的智慧，学习教训。
We're going to study some wisdom and teachings from history.
那再来说，神对我们的要求，我们如何的能够来达到
？And we hope from these lessons we can reach the expectation of God.
好，我们现在来看神的绝对自主权。
Let us study the absolute sovereignty of God.
请看罗马书九章，同样的窑匠的比喻又提出来在这一段里头。
Let's turn to Romans chapter 9.
罗马书第九章，请看十四节开始。
Romans chapter 9, verse 14 onwards.
这里是有关神要恩待谁就恩待谁，谁能够蒙神的发怜悯的话，那不管他怎么定义怎么奔跑，总要在依靠这位神。
Here it says that God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and He'll have compassion on whom He will have compassion.
那从这一段十四节到十八节是神在出埃及那本书里头对摩西或者对法老王的作为引起这一段话来的。
And the background to verse 14 to verse 18 comes out from Exodus on the Pharaoh.
就说法老的硬心。
The hardness of the Pharaoh.
那摩西他蒙神拯救，要带领百姓这个重任。
And Moses was the leader of the people to deliver people out from Egypt.
为了要彰显神的全能。
And all these is to show the glory of God and the power of God.
那从过去这段历史，那就引到保罗当下的外邦人跟犹太人蒙拣选信耶稣进入神的家庭的这段话里头。
And from this part of Exodus, Paul shows that God's salvation shall come upon the Jews and the Gentiles.
外邦人也许会抗议说，神为什么拣选外邦人呢？神岂不是跟我们立约？神不是要祝福我们吗？
The Jews might think that why would God establish covenant with the Gentiles when the Jews are the chosen people of God?
但是在新约神的救赎经纶是先是犹太人，后是外邦人，或者说犹太人跟外邦人一样的在救恩上平等。
And in the New Testament, the Jews will be saved first, and then the Gentiles, or in other words, Jews and Gentiles are equal.
我们现在来看，第九章罗马书。
Let's turn to chapter 9 of Romans.
从十九节看起。
Starting from verse 19.
那你就必对我说了，他为什么还指责人呢？谁又谁抗拒他的旨意呢？二十节。
20.
你这个人呐、你是谁竟向神强嘴呢？受造之物岂能对造他的说，你为什么这样造我呢？二十一节。
21.
窑匠难道没有权柄从一团泥里头拿出一块来做成贵面的贵重的器皿，又拿一块做成卑贱的器皿吗？倘若神要显明他的愤怒，彰显他的全能，就多多忍耐，宽容那可怒预备遭毁灭的器皿。二十三节。
23.
又将他丰盛的荣耀彰显在那蒙怜悯早预备得荣耀的器皿上。好，那我们当然就以下省略，神的拣选称为神的器皿。
And God's chosen is to be the vessel of God.
以色列跟以后要接受救恩的那个外邦人都会称为神的器皿。
Both Israel and the Gentiles would be the vessels.
那犹太人不能抗议说，神啊，你为什么来拣选我本来不在救恩的预备经纶里头的外邦人呢？
And Jews should not voice out their displeasure about God choosing the Gentiles.
神定义要拣选外邦人。
It is God's will that Gentiles be chosen.
当然，因为以色列当中有几份硬心的，他们本来就是救恩从他们出来，可是他们当中弃绝救恩，所以转向外邦去。
And the Jews are hard-hearted, therefore the Jews were initially to be chosen, but because of that they are forsaken, and the Gentiles replace them.
那这个在《使徒行传》十三章四十六节讲得很清楚。
And this is recorded in Acts chapter 13, verse 46.
就说本来你们是应该接受这救恩的，神的道先讲给你们。
Initially, you were to receive the word of God.
啊，只是你们把自己认为不配得永生，弃绝这个道理。
Rather, you have turned away from this word.
所以我们转向外邦去。
Therefore, we turn to Gentiles.
啊，虽然啊，神在以赛亚书四十二章六节跟四十九章六节立以色列为外邦人的光。
Even though God is the light of Israel in Isaiah chapter 42 and 48. 49.
啊，都说神要做以色列做外邦人的光。
That God will be the glory of Israel.
啊，只是以色列人弃绝这个使命。
But the Jews forsake this.
啊，就好像罗马书三章一节说，神把圣言交给他们，要他们做桥梁啊，做媒介物，只是他们没有把这个道理啊传给外邦，他们自己弃绝了。
Romans chapter 3 verse 1 that the people had forsaken them.
啊，这个都是讲神为什么拣选外邦人，也在他的经纶里头。
These are some of the reasons why the Jews forsake the word of God.
犹太人没有权柄啊，权力来抗议神这样的作为。
Therefore, the Jews have no right to express their displeasure.
好，我们再看以赛亚书四十五章。
Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 45.
再从神的创造。我们可以看到神有绝对自主权。
From the creation of God, we know that God has absolute sovereignty.
神是独一的真神。
God is one true God.
他铺张诸天，他铺开大地。
He created the heavens.
他创造万物。
And he made the whole world.
他拣选以色列民。
He chose the people of Israel.
他施恩，也降祸。
He blesses and he gives woe.
完全借在他的绝对自主权。
This all shows his absolute sovereignty.
甚至四十五章一节所说的古列这个波斯王外邦人也称为神的受膏者，来执行神要释放以色列民从巴比伦的俘虏当中回国去重建跟复兴。
Even in chapter 45 verse 1, that God has anointed Cyrus, a Gentile king, to allow the people to return to their homeland to rebuild the city.
这个对以色列民来说想不通的。
This is a puzzle to the Israelites.
因为神的荣光应该只在以色列地来显现才对。
Because the glory of God should only shine upon Israel.
没有想到神拣选外邦人的君王。
Nonetheless, God has chosen a Gentile king.
没有想到神的荣光显现在认为不洁净的外邦地巴比伦的地上。
And God's glory has shone upon an unclean land, the land of Babylon.
这为什么呢？我们来看以赛亚书四十五章。
Let's enter Isaiah chapter 45.
从看第六节，在第五节开始。
Starting from verse 5.
我是耶和华真神，在我以外没有别的神，除了我以外再没有神。你虽然不认识我，我必给你束腰。第六节。
6.
从日出之地到日落之处，使人知道除了我以外没有别的神。我是耶和华，在我以外没有别的神。第七节。
7.
我造光，又造暗；我施平安，又降灾祸。造作这一切的是我耶和华真神。这一节跟我们从前查考哈拿之歌或者其他的经节都知道一点，就是神有绝对自主权。
From these verses and the praises of Hannah, we know that God has absolute sovereignty.
他有绝对的全能。
He has absolute power.
他可以使人生，使人死。
He can give life, he can give death.
他可以使人富贵，又使人卑贱。
He can make a person wealthy, he can make a person
那从宇宙秩序来看，他说：“我又造光又造暗。”
From the order of the universe, we know that he formed light and created darkness.
那从他对人间的这种处置和对待，他是施平安又降灾祸。
And he could make wealth and create woe to the world.
所以说我们从这一节看到神的绝对自主权。
Therefore, from this verse, we see the absolute sovereignty of God.
那我们再看一节新约圣经的记载。
Let's study a verse in the New Testament.
请看《使徒行传》十七章。
Acts chapter 17.
十七章是保罗在雅典，处在很多哲学家、辩士的人群当中，人们希望他讲讲耶稣跟复活道理，这对希腊人来讲是很新奇的事情。
And in chapter 17, Paul was in Athens among many philosophers, and these people want him to talk about the resurrection of Jesus.
古今中外人都有宗教心和宗教行为。
From the ancient times till now, everyone has a heart for God.
那雅典人也是一样，他们有一套很完整的希腊神话。
Even for the people of Athens, they have a complete set of Greek mythology.
他们有天神。
They have gods of heaven.
有海神。
Gods of ocean.
有太阳神。
Sun god.
有爱神，战争之神。
the goddess of war or love.
啊，这些的一切，他们在天上或是在奥林匹亚山的爱情战争，都是反映着人间的这些事情。
And these gods would dwell on Mount Olympus, and they would reflect the everyday life of people.
那除了拜这些神以外，他们还有喜欢谈论宇宙论、人生观一些哲学的问题。
And other than worshiping all these gods, they're also very interested in philosophy.
啊，他们喜欢讲地、水、火、风啊，是这地球或者这个宇宙的构成分子。
They like to discuss the elements, the four elements of the world, the earth, the fire, the water.
啊，他们喜欢谈神秘的宗教。
They like to discuss mysterious religion.
喜欢谈精神跟物质的对立关系。
The relationship between the spirit and physical,
等到保罗传扬的主耶稣救人道理或者复活的道理，讲到生命之道的时候，他们觉得很稀奇，有时候觉得很纳闷。
And they're very interested in what Paul had to say about the word of resurrection.
那他们就邀请保罗说说。
And they invited Paul to give them a lecture.
那因为在那雅典这个城邦、小城市、小城邦的这个环境下讨论。或者说大家议事就议论政治或者议论他们的意见都是很普遍的现象。
In Athens being not a very big city, people can voice their opinion and they can discuss in public.
那保罗就在亚略巴谷当中对他们说话了。
Paul standing in the middle of Areopagus.
我们要注意到对一些还不认识真神的人们见证，保罗就用了他们应该认识的自然来引出神的创造。
We see here that Paul used what the men of Athens knew to introduce them to God.
要证明这个神不是他们概念和哲学上的神。
And to prove that this God is not a philosophy.
这位神是绝对自主的创造神和救赎的神。
This God has absolute sovereignty and he is the Savior.
然而从神引到人应该接受主耶稣为救主，来相信他，来得到赦罪，来得到进入天国的这个基本神的要求，履行这个基本的神国的要求。
From God, Paul's mention about humans coming to know God and to accept salvation of God in order to retain eternal life.
那他就介绍这位真神是什么样的神。
He introduced the men of Athens who this God is.
我们看24节，我们从23节开始看起。
Let's read verse 23 and onward.
说我在雅典街道游行的时候，观看你们所敬拜的，遇见一座坛，上面写着不认识的神。你们不认识的神而敬拜，可是我现在告诉你们，他先肯定雅典的宗教虔诚，因为他们凡事敬畏鬼神。
He first affirmed the zealousness of the men of Athens for their religion.
但是现在你们不认识在敬拜，可是我把我们所认识的这位独一真神介绍给你们。
And then he will introduce this unknown God to them.
他说这位天地主宰不住在人手所造的殿里头，也不要用人手好像用礼物了、牺牲了、牲口了这些东西来服侍他自己，反而将生命气息万物赐给万人。
He said that this God made the world and everything in it, and he does not live in shrines, nor is he served by humans. He does not need anything.
他就提到神的全能，从一本造出万族的人住在全地上头，并且预先定准他们的年限和所住的疆界。第27节。
27.
那么就叫他们人类寻求神，或者可以揣摩而得，其实神离我们个人不远。这里利用神的绝对自主权的万全能的手造着这整个宇宙。
Here it says that God uses absolute sovereignty to create everything in this universe.
那我们人一本造出万族，我们人住在神所预定的疆界所定的那年限里头。
From one he created a whole nation, and we live in our boundaries.
那我们就知道神他是操纵着人类历史跟我们甚至我们个人的生活气息。
And we know that God is in control of humans, of history, and our everyday life.
那所以现在要就近这位神，就要从主耶稣这神所立的这个救主，人要相信他，要悔改。
And to know this God, we need to know Jesus, the Savior.
好，那我们看了这几节经文，可以知道为什么神要借着摇将叫耶利米了解神的绝对自主权。
Here we can understand why God wanted Jeremiah to go to the potter's house to understand God's sovereignty.
因为宇宙万物，包括人生，是在神这位摇将的大能手里头所创造出来的，所掌管的。
Because the creation of the universe and God is in control. It's just like unto the potter.
那么神借叫耶利米仔细的观看，仔细的观看，然后神的旨意就在他所说的啊那一段话里头显明出来。
God wanted Jeremiah to observe the potter carefully, and then he would reveal his message.
他说：“我带你们，带以色列民，岂不能照这窑匠啊弄泥，在窑匠手中成为怎么样，是怎么样的吗？”
He says, "Can I not do with you as this potter has done to the clay?"
那这个就把我们带到神跟以色列民的那种历史关系。
This brings us to the historical relationship between God and Israel.
那要是要谈以色列民的历史，我们要从啊神的选民的历史开始。
To study this, we need to go back to the history of the chosen people.
就说神拣选亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各，就啊成为这他们历史或者选民历史的开始。
And God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and this is the beginning of the history of the chosen people.
那我们在啊旧约啊概论学到，神拣选亚伯拉罕跟他立约。啊，就给他两个应许，一个是有关迦南地，一个有关啊以色列啊众子孙。
And we know that God's promise to Abraham included two items: the promised land of Canaan and having many descendants.
啊，所有以后的历史动向是朝着神的产业地、神所应许的迦南地，跟神的后的选民的后代这个子孙将来移动的。
And we see that from then on, the history began to reveal the.In the direction of the promised land and the descendants of Abraham.
那所以说，这是选民神所定定的两个主要的内容，契约的两个内容。
Therefore, these two are the contents of the Abrahamic covenant.
为了得到迦南地，神的应许地。
In order to get to the land of Canaan.
为了要有这个神要让万国得到祝福的，多如海沙或多如这天星的以色列的众子民。
In order for Abraham to have this, as much descendants or as many descendants as the sand on the shore and stars in heaven,
亚伯拉罕跟他后代一定要遵守契约的那个要求，就是要遵从神的命令。
Abraham and his descendants must abide by the covenant and to obey God's command.
那以后他们下埃及出了，再来，神带领他们出埃及。
Next, God brought them out of Egypt.
那他们到西乃山又定了一个很重要的。跟律法有关系的这个西乃山契约。
And at Mount Sinai, they had established another covenant that has something to do with the law.
这时候神又说了。
At this point, God said.
请看出埃及记十九章。
Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19.
出埃及记十九章，请看第五节。
Exodus chapter 19, verse 5.
第五节说：“你们若实在听从我的话，遵守我的约，就要在万民当中做属我的子民，因全地都是我的。”第六节。你们要归我做祭司的国度，为圣洁的国民。这些话，摩西，你要告诉以色列人。这里开始要展开西乃山契约的内容了。
From here, the content of the covenant at Mount Sinai will beginning to show.
因为神叫他们预备，第三天神要从火焰当中在雷轰闪电密云当中跟百姓来显现。
God told Moses to prepare the people because he would reveal to them on the third day.
神要颁布十条诫命。
On that day, God would give out the Ten Commandments.
神要教训以色列民如何的要成为圣洁的国民、祭司的国度当中所需要的律法那些条例的规的内容。
God would give out the law that would pertain to how the people should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
但是这有一句话说：“你们若听从我的话，遵守我的约。”这做先决的条件。
But there is a condition that if they listen to him and keep his commandment.
所以我们看到立法或者神在训练百姓成为顺服的这种祭司国度当中，历史的契约借在双方的。
We see that this historic covenant is established on both parties.
但是我们以后可以查验到，就是整个王国的历史要不要得到神的祝福。就借在刚才那句话，你们若听从我的话，遵守我的约。
The later history of Israel all depends on this sentence, whether you will keep my commandments.
在公元前的1922年左右，所罗门的儿子罗伯安，在他在位的当初，他这个由以色列或者说希伯来王国分为两半。
In 922 BC, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, during his reign, the nation was divided into two.
那我们就称为分裂的王国历史。
From then on, it's known as the history of divided monarchy.
北朝以色列国，南朝犹大王国。
And the north is Israel, and the south is Judah.
那以《生命记》的那个主题，就说你们若听从我的话，遵守了约，那就会得到神的祝福。
In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that if you were to keep my commandment and obey my covenant,
你们若违背我，去侍奉别的神，效仿外邦所行的恶道，那我就离弃你们。
And if you turn against me and follow the religion of other people, then I will forsake you.
因为王国的历史要得到神的祝福，就借在这个条件性，神要要求他们履行契约的遵命的动作。
The history of the kingdom depends on the people keeping the covenant of God.
所以才有列王记下十七章复习王国灭亡的那个缘故了。
And that is why in 2 Kings chapter 17 there is this destruction of kingdom.
因为以后以色列国被亚述国在公元前的722年来毁灭掉。
The northern kingdom Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC.
百姓会问，我们是神的契约百姓，为什么会让外族人来掳掠我们，毁灭我们呢？
The people would ask, we have a covenant with God. Why would He let other people come and destroy us?
那我们就从列王记下十七章得到一个历史的检验。
We see in Second Kings chapter 17.
历史的检验。
The history.
探讨为什么这个王国会被亚述国毁灭的缘故。
We will find the reason why Assyrians would destroy Israel.
历史家说，这都是因为真神的百姓违背他的命令，随从外邦，他们行可憎恶的事情。
And the historians recorded that it's because the people of Israel has done abominable things against God.
以后犹大王朝也是一样的道理。
The same reason will apply to the kingdom of Judah.
虽然他们有圣殿，他们也以耶路撒冷为政治跟宗教的中心，也有神所要应许的这个大卫的王朝。
Even though they have the holy temple, they have Jerusalem as the city of their faith and religion.
但是很可惜的。
Unfortunately.
他们也被另外一个敌人巴比伦来毁灭了。
They were also destroyed by another enemy, the Babylonians.
耶利米哀歌就提出一连串的历史检验，为什么圣城被毁？
And in the book of Lamentations, it gives us several reasons why the holy city was destroyed.
本来很尊贵的神的选民，这个高贵的位分，为什么被丢在地上，好像那个垃圾一样？
Why were such honorable people of God being forsaken?
为什么外敌可以侵入神的圣所，来掳掠他的祭司跟他的百姓？
And why is it that foreigners can come into the temple of God and ransack it and destroy the people?
为什么王国遭受到刀剑、饥荒、瘟疫？恶兽的这个灾害。
Why is it that the kingdom was destroyed by famine, by swords, by pestilences?
因为这些灾害是在平安约，就是说神早就预备的平安约的内容，他们不会遭受到的事情的。
These are the things that God has mentioned in the covenant of peace.
因为原来他们找到答案了。
And they have found the answer.
就是说，他们若不听从神的话。神就会让他们从自己的应许地被驱逐出去。
If the people of Israel do not keep the covenant of God, commandment of God, they shall be driven out of the promised land.
他们若敬拜跪拜偶像，随从外邦恶俗，行可憎恶的事，在宗教上、在道德上都亏欠神的话，神也要离弃他们。
If the people have fallen short of God both morally and religiously by practicing idol worshiping, then God will forsake them.
就在这个历史潮流当中。有两个在这个动荡的时期，在巴比伦毁灭王国犹大王国时期，有两位先知出现。
And in this times of uneasiness, there were two prophets.
一个是耶利米。
One is Jeremiah.
公元前626年受召成为神的先知。
In the year 626 BC, he was called by God.
一个是以西结。
And the second was Ezekiel.
公元前593年也是成为神的先知。
In the year 953 BC, he was also called by God.
在这个动荡的年代，他们成为神的指示，要对以色列民的昭告神的旨意。
In this times of political unrest, they were being called by God to prophecy to people.
我们来看耶利米书第一章。
Let's turn to.
第一章，请看第十节。
Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10.
这是神在耶利米还年幼的时候。神就预定他成为神的先知，作为列邦或者以色列犹大国的先知。
here, while Jeremiah was still in his youth, God had prophesied to him that he would be a prophet one day.
我们看第十节,
Let's read verse 10.
说看了我今日立你在列邦列国之上, 为了要施行, 拔出, 拆毁, 毁坏, 倾覆, 又要建立, 栽植。 我们看出这一对的那个反跟正, 啊, 神的动作。
Here we see a series of opposites.
一个是神要拔出, 拆毁, 毁坏, 倾覆。
To pluck up, break down, destroy, and overthrow.
另外一个是神要, 再建立, 栽植。
And God will plant and build again.
以色列的历史, 我们可以说, 从这两组的神的动作, 看得出, 神的, 神的公义, 神的慈爱, 跟神的公义。
From this series of opposite actions, we see the love and the justice of God.
从神的公义来讲, 百姓有罪, 神就要拔出, 拆毁, 毁坏。
From the justice side of God, we see that if a people had sinned, God would pluck them up, break down, and destroy them.
那要是他们悔改了, 神就召聚他们, 带领他们, 神就建立, 栽植他们。
If the people repented, God would gather them again and would build and plant.
那这个这一对的神的, 公义的审判跟慈爱的准备, 假定他, 就像以色列国, 他们违背神的命令, 神就把他们, 就拔出, 把他们弃毁了。
And we see that if the people had gone against God, and God plucked them out and would overthrow them.
所以这是一个对邦国的, 契约关系。
And this is a covenant to the nation.
本来神要祝福, 神要建立栽植的以色列民族, 好好的本来要在日, 在迦南地上, 安居, 乐业, 日子长久。
Initially, God wants the people of Israel to have their kingdom in the land of Canaan.
很可惜, 他们背道, 离弃真神。
Because they forsake God,
所以神就兴起外邦来毁灭他们。
God raised up a foreign nation to destroy them.
等到他们在流落四方, 遭受到家破, 国王, 再来没有圣殿, 没有崇拜的生活, 他们很深沉地思考一个宗教的课题。
And the people of Israel had learned a valuable lesson in religion while they were in exile, where there is no temple, there is no faith, no religion.
难道以色列神比巴比伦神力量还小吗?
Is the God of Israel less than the God of Babylonia?
难道神已经背了他约, 就是说抛弃他自己百姓吗?
Has God gone against his own covenant and forsaken his own people?
为什么很多虔诚以色列民也要遭受这样无谓的灾, 就被列国, 被巴比伦来毁灭?
Why is it that many pious Jews were also being destroyed?
为什么神立民的圣殿, 他们看为宝贵的律法, 所规定的崇拜, 围绕圣殿的崇拜生活, 都要, 终止了呢?
Why is it that their religious life around the Holy Temple was stopped?
这是什么缘故?
What is the reason?
他们一再而再地在思考这个问题。
Repeatedly they questioned them.
那么他们就找, 最后找出,
Finally,
说神本来是守约施慈爱的, 他不会违背自己的一个神。
They realized that God is one who keeps the covenant, would not go against his own word.
所以问题是在人。
The question lies in the people.
在人的悖逆。
The people's forsaken.
尤其历史家所说的以色列家的背道的病。
Especially the historians have said that people of Israel had a history of forsaking God.
耶利米以西结所说的宗教上跟, 社会良心上的罪。
The sins of the people in the society, as mentioned by Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
所以神不得不, 就照着他契约的要求, 背道的, 或者不守约, 不履约的, 就交给外邦人, 让这个国家本来祝福的, 就被拔出, 拆毁, 来倾覆了。
And God had to do what was in the covenant that he would raise enemies against the people of Israel to destroy them.
所以说从这里我们可以看到, 神对列邦的, 甚至自己的拣选的国度, 就是以色列国, 神有他的公义的原则。
Here we see the justice of God pertaining to his chosen people.
是借在条件性祝福。
And all these are built on conditional blessings.
那早上我们也查考过, 列邦本来要被拆毁, 要毁坏的, 譬如说城邦, 尼尼微城。
And this morning we also heard that foreign nations are supposed to be destroyed, like the city of Nineveh.
约拿被差遣去传警告。
Jonah was sent to give warnings.
本来约拿不肯, 因为, 亚述国是他, 这个以色列国将要, 兴起的, 最大的敌人, 而且要威胁到他国家的安危。
Initially, Jonah refused to go because Assyria was a great threat to Israel.
但是神, 的旨意高过个人的旨意。
But the will of God surpasses everything.
他也不愿意见到恶人受灾殃在他们要被毁灭前，神给一个机会。
And God would give them the people of Nineveh a chance before they were destroyed.
所以神就命令约拿去，说到大城去宣告我所吩咐你的话。
Therefore, God made Jonah go to the city of Nineveh to give warnings to the people.
在约拿书三章就描写这个尼尼微城从王到平民听到约拿的警告后的反应。
In Jonah chapter 3, it gives us a description of how the reaction of the people and the king when they heard the warning.
禁食祷告，披上麻布蒙灰，而且呢切切祷告神，或者神看到他们手中离弃的这个恶道，也许会眷顾他们。
And they prayed, they fast, they wore sackcloth and sat in ashes all day repenting, hoping that God would see how they have repented.
结果在三章十节就记着。
In chapter 3, verse 10,
神查看他们行为，也看到他们离开恶道，神就定意，神就转意，不把所说的灾殃降给他们了。
And God saw what they have done.And how they have turned from the evil way God repented of the evil he had said.
好，我们就可以看到神的绝对自主权，他可以施平安降灾祸，他也可以降灾祸施平安。
Here we can see the sovereignty of God that he can give blessings and he can give woe.
这完全借在人对神旨意的行为的反应。
This all depends on the reaction of people.
因此我们要探讨神跟人在历史上的关系的话，可以用两句话来表达。
Therefore, you know, we can express the relationship between God and humans in two sentences.
一个就是说神采取绝对自主权，他可以主动来跟你订约，跟你的要求。
One, God has absolute sovereignty and he is dynamic. He has the power to establish covenant with you.
他就要求我们照他的立约的内容的要求，说我们要遵命爱神，这样来赐福给我们。
He will request that we keep the contents of the covenant to love him, to obey him.
但是另外一份很重要的，从人方面来说。
The next is important part from the point of view.
就是人对神的旨意的反应，可以做神本来预定的那计划的转移，一个最主要的原因。
And humans, our reaction is a most important point to God's repenting.
所以 divine initiative 跟 human response 变成这两句话，就是说神的绝对自主。神的计划也要看人对他这个旨意或对他的历史作为有所就是譬如说遵守或者是违背。
The divine initiative and the response of humans depends on humans' reaction to whether they keep the commandments of God or not.
那么神就按照人对他的这个行为做旨意的调整。
And then God would, based on the reaction of the people, would adjust his covenant.
不管神他从头到尾他要改变。或者不改变他的计划，都在他预知全知的范围之下。
Whether God changes his plans or not is all in his foreknowledge.
假定我们把历史人类的历史看成一块很长的布来说吧。
If we see the history of mankind as a very long scroll.
这个布有神所定的那个典型或者形式款项款式。
There's a certain style.
A pattern. 但是人的时间空间在每个地方等于一个花。或者一个花纹，一个纹道。
But
figures.
The time of humans is like a little figure on the scroll.
就说你不管你怎么转或怎么样的这个绕圆圈，都在神已经预定好了的那个诠释全知的范围之下。
No matter where you go, it has already been predestined. Foreknown to God.
譬如说我们现在已经历史到现在，我们知道犹大卖主。
For example, we know now that Judah had betrayed the Lord Jesus.
我们是从后头往前看的。
We are looking forward from the back.
Retrospect. 但是有人问，假定犹大不卖主，他在最后晚餐悔改怎么办呢？
Some would ask if Judah did not betray God and he repented on the night of the Last Supper.
主耶稣被钉十字架为人类赎罪，这个大事也不会受改变，纵然犹大不卖主。
Then even if Judah did not betray God and betray Jesus, Jesus would still be crucified.
因为主耶稣在圣殿的最后一个礼拜是跟犹太人争斗一个白热化的事情。
Because on the last week, Jesus was arguing with the
犹太人的官或者是这些大祭司、文士、长老已经预备下手捉拿主耶稣。
Jesus will argue with the Jews in the synagogue and the Jewish officials ready to capture him.
所以我们要是从前头看后头演变的话，犹大可以不卖主，主耶稣是十字架的事工，照样借别人来完成。
Therefore, even if Judah did not betray Jesus, then this plan of God would still be completed.
不管你从前或从后看，神的旨意是在他全知啊全事的这种条件下来进行的。
Regardless of how you view this, the foreknowledge of God will always be there.
所以说，人怎么改变，神的旨意没有改变。
Therefore, humans change, but the plans of God will never.
因为神的旨意的转移是借着人的行为来做调整的。
Because God would always adjust His plans according to the reaction of
the people. 所以说，窑匠可以说啊，这个好，他就把它留起来；不好，他再重新捏造。他还是有意造成很好的器皿，在他心目当中。
Therefore, the potter has a right to destroy or to keep the pots that he has made.
所以每一个器皿就变成他手中所捏造的，他的旨意要完整投射的一个对象。
Therefore, every vessel he made is done according to his plans.
好，用这样的了解。
If we understand
我们也知道神在历史上的作为。
We understand the deeds of Jesus.
但是我们又从早上所查考的耶利米书十八章有关邦国，跟以西结书十八章有关个人，神的绝对自主权可以做意志的调整。
In Ezekiel chapter 18, we know that God adjusts His plans according to the reaction of humans.
因为他不愿意恶人死亡，所以他希望恶人来。悔改行义道而得存活。
Because God does not want evil men to die, He wants to give them a chance to repent.
他也不愿义人中途离开善道而行恶，来遭神的弃绝。
He also would not want righteous men to forsake righteousness and to do evil.
所以跟耶利米一样的，以西结就提出一个很重要的历史课题，也是个人在神面前应该做的一件事。
And therefore, Ezekiel, like Jeremiah mentioned, about individual responsibilities.
每一个人在神面前的行为道义，在神面前应该负道义上的行为责任。
Everyone must have responsibility to God.
所以说神的旨意是在你个人对神的关系的建立上来做调整的。
Therefore, the will of God would adjust on your responsibility to God.
譬如说，神本来拣选犹大，要享受神所给他的犹大，就其他使徒的那种位分。
For example, God has chosen Judah so that he can enjoy this discipleship that the other disciples.
但神也给人有选择的这个自由。
But God also has given humans the right to choose.
当犹大他像约翰十二章六节所说的，心趋向贪婪，私自的把公款装在他口袋里。
But when Judah began greedy and kept money for himself.
或者他原来有心理的因素，他也许对主耶稣就是说主耶稣不推动社会或者政治这样的弥赛亚运动，主耶稣要建设是属灵的国，他也许心急切。
Perhaps for other reasons that he hoped Jesus would stir up a messianic movement among the people.
不管如何，我们看到犹大已经定义要卖主耶稣。
But no matter what, we know that Judah was to betray Jesus.
他给魔鬼留地步。
He has left some grounds.
主耶稣在最后晚餐的洗脚跟最后晚餐的叮咛，想用爱挽回他已经被魔鬼蒙蔽了，硬心到底了。
And Jesus hoped to win Judah over during the Last Supper, but Judah had already turned.
所以他就去卖主。
Therefore, he left to betray the Lord.
就引起他自己身败名亡，他临死的地步了。
And therefore, he caused his death, his spiritual death.
所以使徒行传一章彼得就说，本来他可以跟我们一样的有使徒的位分跟殊荣，特殊的神的荣耀，神所要给他的荣耀。
And in Acts chapter 1, Peter said that initially Judah could also enjoy the special status.
只是他自己选择往他自己灭亡的道路去了。
Rather, he chose his own path to path of destruction.
所以这个给我们一个很清楚的一个启示，就是说神给你有绝对自主权，给你有这个自由去选择。
And here he gives us a teaching that God has given us the right to choose.
神要祝福你的。
God wants to bless you.
但是你自觉不配，要故意违抗神。
But if you feel that you're unworthy and you want to rebel against God.
所以你要负责，对自己的行为负责。
Then you're responsible for your own action.
他往灭亡的道路上去。
And you're going on the path of destruction.
很遗憾的违背了神，本来主耶稣拣选他承受这个荣耀的神国的这本意。
And Judah has chosen his own ending.
所以这个给我们知道，窑匠手中的这个窑，这个窑器或者器皿，应该配合神的旨意。
Here tells us that the vessel that this potter made should be done according to the will of God.
因为在圣经中的器皿，他神也说，你可以自己要成为圣洁的器皿，哎，何用的器皿。
Because the Bible says that vessel can choose to be to have a noble use.
因为在谈这器皿的时候，已经想到人有这个选择的自由，人可以选择神所喜悦的，得到永生，得到神的建立。
And when we mention vessel, we also mention that believers have the right to choose whether they want to please God or to be forsaken by God.
所以这个借在我们在神的眼中，看看是要成为神圣的器皿、重要的器皿和义的器皿呢。
Therefore, in the eyes of God, whether we are a vessel for noble use or ignoble use, it's up to us.
我们来看罗马书第六章来做结束。
We'll conclude with Romans chapter 6.
请看罗马书六章。
Romans chapter 6.
我们看十二节。
Verse 12.
所以第六章十二节，所以不要容罪在你们必死的身上作王，使你们顺从身子的私欲。第十三节，
13.
也不要将你们肢体献给罪做不义的器皿，倒要像从死里复活的人，将自己献给神，将肢体做义的器具献给神。啊，这里说到人可以选择自己的器皿要当成罪的器皿，或者说神义的器皿。
Here it says that humans have a right to choose whether to become a vessel for noble use or a vessel for ignoble use.
因为神到最后要看着我们个人的行为、个人的选择来做他审判的一个依据。
Because God would judge us according to our choices.
在基督的台前，像哥林多后书五章十节说的，个人都要显露出来，在基督的台前，个人都要在显露出来。
Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, Everyone must show ourselves before the judgment.
按着本身所行的，或善或恶，受报。
That we shall be judged according to what we have done.
那神按照罗马书二章说，按照他真理，按照个人的行为来审判。
And God will judge us according to our actions.
所以神要看我们个人在神的面前所见的良心，所推荐的良心。
God will judge us according to our conscience.
按是否我们符合神说的。你要得祝福吗？得到神所认为贵重器皿吗？就要成为神合用的，神所喜欢的这个，你要尽心尽心尽力爱主你的神。
If you want to be a vessel for noble use, then you should love God with all your heart and with all your mind.
所以我们从今天上下午所查考的，可以从历史神对以色列民的建立、栽植或倾覆或者说毁坏，得到一个这个教训。
And we can study from this morning's and this afternoon's sermon.About God.
许神的旨意可以按照个人的行为来做调整。
But the will of God will adjust according to our own response.
因为列邦个人都在神的这个条件性祝福下，神要施恩，或者要降祸。
Because under this conditional blessing, God will give us blessings or give us woe.
因为他的本意是要人人悔改，都了解他的旨意来得救的。
For the will of God is to have all men be saved.
所以我们都在主的旨意下，要得到神的喜悦是很重要的。
Therefore, it's important for us to please God under His will.
好，我们唱诗58首。